Just want to say thanks to Barry for his warm welcome to me. And it's lovely to see some old friends. Good to see you and good to be with you and Downpatrick this morning. Good to see Hazel. Hazel used to be my tennis partner, do you know that? And we would have won many competitions if Hazel had been better. Yeah, she was useless. Yeah, but good to see Hazel too. And good to be with you all. I have to be very careful what I say because Owen will be on the phone to make sure I haven't blown it. Okay? So I'd like to read to you, if I could again, from 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, reading from verse 1. This is God's word. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Ending there at verse 6. Let me pray. Father, just pray very specially now that your word will come alive to us and that God will speak to us in a way that all of us will understand. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. This epistle, by the way, is an epistle about Christian ministry. And these verses that we have just read this morning are all about the nature of this ministry. If you look at verse 1 there, it makes it abundantly clear that we only have this ministry by the mercy of God. This ministry, if you like, is the gospel, or it's the good news about the Lord Jesus. That's who it's about. It's about him. And it's all about him. And the apostle states here that because we have this ministry, by God's mercy, we do not lose heart. And the reason why he says that is because there is a tendency to lose heart. We all know that. That's the reason why he says it. He wouldn't say it if there wasn't this tendency to lose heart. We can look around us there and we can see the circumstances in the world around us. See the circumstances in the community that we live in. And we can think to ourselves, you know, the gospel really isn't having an impact on people here today at all. That's how we can think. We can and become sort of disillusioned by it all. Stop telling people, stop sharing with people. And the apostle says very clearly, don't lose heart. Do not do that. That's what he's saying here. Because this gospel is a powerful thing. Now, let me explain to you why he says we should not lose heart and why we should never forsake the gospel, if you like. That no man in his right mind, no one in the right mind, could ever have come up with a message like this. Nobody, no matter who they are, could ever come up with a message like this. This is a message that's totally unique. So I hope that you will just take time today and take this on board and think about it and think about what it means. In my work, although I'm officially retired, I still work. I work a couple of days a week in Drogheda, and I work a couple of days in Newry. I'm more or less like a door-to-door evangelist. And what I do is I go around, I knock doors, and I try to engage people in conversation about the Bible. And the thing that I try to do is I try to get people to understand who Jesus is from the Bible. I work mostly in Catholic areas among Catholic people. And could I say to you, that's the easiest place to work. It's an easy place to work. No point in trying to say that it's difficult. It's not difficult. It's easy to work there. Because I'm working among people who want to hear, who want to know what's going on. I do a Bible study every Wednesday night in Drogheda, on the main street there. I do that. I've been doing it for the last 10 years. A good number of people come to that, maybe up to 40 people on a Wednesday night. Then I do another one in Newry on a Tuesday night. Not too many come to it. But these are Bible studies where I just sit there with a Bible, and there's a Bible in all the chairs, and I just simply teach the Bible. And people can ask any questions they want. If they have a question, provided it's to do with the scripture we're reading, they can ask any questions they want. And the only condition on that is that they must get a Bible answer. It's not somebody's good idea. It has to be, what does the Bible say? And so in this work of evangelism, I meet all sorts of people. All types of people. All people from different religious backgrounds. I meet Muslims, I meet Hindus, I meet Buddhists. I met a Jainist. I don't know what a Jainist is. I didn't know what a Jainist was. I met this doctor in a hospital in Drogheda, and he was a Jainist. He assured me that where he comes from in India, there are at least 6,000 Jainists in his area. Or 6 million, sorry, Jainists in his area. That's more than the population of Ireland. You've got all these different religions. You've got cults as well, like Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and stuff like that. And could I say to you that all of them basically believe the same thing? Nominal Protestants, Roman Catholics, believe the same thing. That's exactly what they believe, nothing different. All believe that there's something they can do, and indeed something they must do in order to earn their own salvation. I was like that one time. I had this idea one time that, growing up that, if you did enough good things here and, but outweigh your bad things, you'd be okay. It was a balanced situation. I used to think like that. Loads of people think like that. Loads of people in my family thought like that. Maybe you think like that today. If I'm good enough, then God will accept me. Very hard to tell people that's not the gospel. That's not what Paul's talking about here. He tells us here very clearly that this gospel, and this gospel alone, tells us that we are completely and utterly helpless to earn our own redemption. Not able to do that. So it's a unique message. It's a message like none other. That God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ came in loving kindness down into this world to reach men and women by grace and mercy alone. And you deserve nothing. Only the judgment of God. That God sent the Son, Lord Jesus Christ, into the world to be a Savior for you and to be a Savior for me. You see, this is what Paul's talking about here, this tremendous gospel. You see, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 tells us, as for you, that's you and me, you were dead in your trespasses and sins. That's a serious condition. Spiritually speaking, if you're dead, you can do nothing. If you're dead, you're dead. You can't do anything about that. There's no life there. That's the reality. That's how we are spiritually. Boy, I tell you, and we need to think that through for ourselves. Born into this world, spiritually dead. Do nothing. Something needs to happen in order for me to have some sort of a spiritual life. So we need to see this, that only this gospel. And this gospel alone tells us that this can give you life. This can bring life to you. To you, to your parents, to your children, to your neighbors, to your friends, to anybody. And that's why Paul says we should not lose heart in it all. And so I hope you can see this morning that this is good news and never had its origin in the heart of any human being. Hope you can see that. Tremendously important to be able to see that. And it comes to us as a revelation from heaven. That's how it comes to us. It just comes straight from God. We've received it from God, and so we've got this responsibility to pass it on to other people. That's what I'm doing this morning. I'm trying to pass it on to you. That's what I do when I knock doors. I'm trying to pass it on. Tell other people about this good news. That revelation from God can come to us in many different ways. It can come to us sometimes through an illness when we're ill. It can come to us sometimes through the death of a loved one our family or a friend, sudden death. It can come through the loss of a job, loss of a home, the loss of a family, loss of a marriage. It can come to us in so many different ways. And what it does is it reveals to us that our lives are not right. That there's something missing. And we can't put our finger on it, but that's what it begins to do. But spiritually, we're missing the mark in it all. The revelation comes by the Holy Spirit. He convinces us that we're lost. And that Jesus Christ is the only hope. That he's the only Savior. For me, it was on a building site in West Belfast. On a beautiful sunny day when a wee boy was shot dead. IRA shot him. I didn't know at the time he was working undercover for the army. He was 21 years old. And I happened to be there. I was happily married and a wee boy. I didn't have any real problems in my life. None at all. Worked hard and was doing okay. This wee boy was shot dead, and suddenly the thought came into my mind, standing on the street. I wonder where he went. I wasn't even going to church, you know that. But I'd been to Sunday school as a wee boy, and this was the teaching coming back again. Wonder where he went when he died. See, we're wired up in such a way that we knew we're going somewhere. That's how we're made. We know that there's something coming down the line. We don't always know what it is. But we know there's something. Standing there that day, the thought came, well, where did he go? Because he got no time to make any preparation. Whatever way he lived, that was how he died. You see, I couldn't get away from that. I couldn't get away from it. It was just on my mind all the time. Just couldn't get away from it all. The conviction that the Holy Spirit brings is a very powerful thing. It can stop you sleeping at night. Be on your mind all the time. God on your mind. You had a lovely incident there that happened to me a few months back. 30 years ago when I was in Kilkenny, I was just starting in Kilkenny. And I was doing door-to-door work, and I met a boy one day. He was probably about 20. And he met me at the door, and we could talk, and he said to me, what are you doing? And I said, I'm going around, I'm trying to get people into the Bible. He said, well, what do you want to do? He said to me. He said, do you want to do a Bible study? And I said, yeah, I would love to. He said, do you want to do it in my house? And I said, yeah, I would love to do it in your house. And he said, when do you want to do it? And I said, what about Monday night? He said, okay. He said, you come on Monday night, I'll bring the boys round. And he said, we'll have a Bible study. And I thought, that'd be great, you know. And then I said, Monday night came, I said, when I go here, you'd probably not be in. You know, there'd be nobody there. But I went anyway. And when I went, the house was mobbed. There was a whole load of these young lads, and all teenagers and early 20s. And what had happened was he had told them he was having a barbecue. And they all came for a feed of beef burgers and beer. That's what they came for. And when they got there, he said, there isn't any barbecue. There's a fellow come to talk about the Bible. Well, what a turnoff. They thought themselves, they were really angry now. And when I got there, they'd be cursing like troopers and everything else. And what was happening? They were going to go home. But one of them said, you're not doing nothing. One will stay, whenever he comes, we'll get stuck into him. And for them, it was going to be a night's fun. And I came in. I couldn't believe the crowd when I came in. This guy said to me, well, there you are, go ahead. And I up the Bible, sat down behind the door, and I told him about how I became a Christian. I said, what I didn't know was that among those boys, there was an 18-year-old boy who had cancer. And the prognosis for him wasn't good. And they all knew that. Although they all knew it. I didn't know it, but they knew. Maybe he's going to die. And suddenly as I started to talk to them, there was real quietness, and I got this great freedom to talk. And maybe for about 20 minutes, maybe 25 minutes, I don't know. But when it finished, I just couldn't believe how still and quiet they were. But when it finished, one of them said, that's okay for you coming in here and telling us. Sure, we know nothing about the Bible. And this fellow said, I'll bring a priest along here next week. Is that okay? I said, it's okay. And this other fellow said, I'd bring a Jehovah's Witness. I said, okay. And so we set up for next Monday night again. It was going to be me, the priest, and the Jehovah's Witness. We're going to have it out. At 8 o'clock. So next Monday, I'm fear and trembling, I went along. And when I went, the place was absolutely bummed. They were hanging out of the, through the stairs and in the kitchen, looking out through the door. And could hardly believe the number of people who were there. But then what happened was the fellow said, the priest not coming, and the Jehovah's Witness, he wasn't coming. And so I had the floor again, and away I went again, this gospel. And they told me afterwards, they said, whenever we had finished these, that we came out, and some of them boys were all with little groups gathered around, and they were saying, some were saying, I believe that's true. And some were saying, no, I think it's a little rubbish. But some were saying it was true. And I tell you, it was God at work in the whole thing. The first fellow to be converted out of that was converted in a nightclub, hanging on the bar. God broke into his heart and saved him. Married now with a wee family, going to church down there. His mother said she could never have believed that his life could have been changed and transformed like that. Part of the gospel. But the boy I want to tell you about just for a moment is another lad who rang me. He was there. And he rang me just a few months ago and he said, Billy, you remember me? And he told me his name, Joe, and I said, Joe, yes, I do remember you. He said, I want to come and see you. And so he came up from Kilkenny, and we spent the morning together, part of the afternoon. And he said, don't ask me any questions, let me tell you what happened to me. And I was in the Bible study 30 years ago when you spoke, and he said, I knew it was true. But he said, I didn't want to change. And he said, I went, got married, and I went to New Zealand. And he said, when I was in New Zealand, I met a Christian there in the place where I worked. He started telling me about Jesus. I didn't want to know. He said, we came back home again. He said, when we came home again, got a job and started to work. And he said, 13 years ago, I stopped smoking, and 10 years ago, I stopped drinking. He said, I haven't never told anybody this. He said, but I'm telling you. He said, I'm a millionaire. I made over a million. Extremely wealthy. He said, I tell you, my heart was empty. He said, my hobby is fixing up vintage cars, motor cars, and vintage motorbikes. And he said, just a few months ago, he said, I went to Amsterdam to a big show there. He said, on Saturday night, we had a bus tour down into the red light district of Amsterdam. Imagine that. He said, we went down in this bus tour, and he said, I got out and walked along by myself, he said, and out of nowhere, this man appeared, and he said to me, do you speak English? And I said, yes, I do. He said, son, I want to tell you about Jesus. I want to tell you, if you die in here, in a place like this, you'll go to hell. I want to tell you there's a Savior for you. Somebody who loves you, gave his life for you on a cross. You turn, you can be saved. You can know the peace of God waiting in your heart. And he said for about 10 minutes on the footpath there, he just told me the whole gospel. And he said, I was stuck to the ground. I wasn't able to move. I just stood there. And he said, I was just transfixed by the whole thing. Saturday night, the red light district in Amsterdam. And he said, he put his hand in the bag and he took out a Bible. And he said, if I give you a Bible, will you read it? And he said, yes, I will. If I gave you some tract, would you read them? He said, yes, I will read them as well. And he said, I got away and got back to the hotel and I came home. And the following week, he said, I'm driving down the nearest dual carriageway from Dublin to Kilkenny. And he said, the tears are running down my face because my life's just a misery. I see nothing. And he said, I said to God, God, what's this life really all about? What's it really all about? And he said, just in a moment, everything turned to clay. Just a moment, he said, and God said, that's what it is. There's nothing there. And he said, I pulled the car into the hard shoulder, and he said, I just asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive me for all my sins. Trusted him there as my Savior. He said, the following week, he said, I was in the night with my solicitor. Been dealing with him for years, he said, and he said to me, we were talking about business, and he said, out of the blue, he said to me, Joe, there's something different about you. And I can't put my finger on it. What's different about you? And he said, I thought I had nothing different about me. And then suddenly I remembered that I'd become a Christian. Maybe that's what he's talking. So I said to him, I said, I've become a Christian. And for the next hour in the office there, question after question. He said, I couldn't answer all the questions, but I did my best. I told him what I could tell him. You see, what he's talking about here is what Paul's talking about. That we do not lose heart. Because we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. We tell people. We share with people. And God's able to save people. See, the Apostle Paul, who wrote this, called himself a Hebrew of the Hebrews. A Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was an extremely religious man. He hoped to work out a salvation based on his own righteousness that would take him to heaven. But there came a day when this loving God, this great God of ours, in grace and mercy, revealed to him his sin and his own righteousness. Was able to reveal that to him. And was able to see himself as God saw him. Able to see himself as lost and undone. If you want to read that story, you can read it in Acts chapter 9. We sometimes call it a Damascus Road experience. And then his great need, he turned and he found in Jesus a place of redemption. Wonderful thing. And so when he talks about this ministry that he's talking about here, talking about a real and definite experience, it's not something secondhand he's speaking about. He's talking about something that he's experienced in his own life. And I wonder this morning, do you know anything about an experience like that in your own life? I wonder, do you know an experience like that? Your sins are forgiven. God has become your Savior. That's the reality. As God revealed to you that your life is wrong, and maybe you're not sure whether you're a real Christian or not. Many people like that today. See, that revelation from God often comes as we sit under His Word. In church service like this morning, that's how it can come, just like that. It's God's Holy Spirit at work. We become aware that something's not right in our life, just something. We do not know what it is, but something that God is revealing to us that we need a Savior. And that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. The second thing that we see here in this passage of Scripture, in verse 2 there, that we're reminded that in this ministry that we don't use deceit. We don't distort God's Word. See that? We don't tell lies. That's what it means. We tell the message as it is. Don't try to twist it or turn it around. We just set it forth plainly. That's what I'm trying to do right now. Trying to tell it as plainly as I can. Trying to tell it in a way that you'll be able to understand it. And be able to see that this is the reality of it all. Some people won't like it. You understand that as well. I can't help that, by the way. Some people don't like it. You know, and when I say that, I'm talking about my own family. There are people in my family who don't like it. Don't like the idea of what I'm saying here. I've had people say to me who have become real Christians, say to me, you know, when I heard this message first, when I heard you speaking, I wanted to stop your face. But who do you think he's talking to? Didn't like it. But we can understand that. We do it for the love of the souls of men and women and boys and girls. And why do we do it? We do it because we don't want them to be lost. We don't now. This is the reality of it all. Don't want them to go to a lost eternity. This is why we do it. And then we don't do it for money. I'm told that as well. Or we don't do it for the praise of men. We do it humbly and we do it reverently and we do it for the glory of God alone. This is the reality of why we do it. We're reminded it's possible in verse 3 there to preach this gospel in all its simplicity and men and women won't understand it. You know, in verse 5 and our chapter 5, verse 11, we are told we try to persuade men. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm trying to persuade you. This is true. But we can't save them. Only God can save them. And Paul tells us the reason there's a veil over them, not able to see. tells us that's the reason why. In verse 4 there, if you can look at verse 4, the reason why they can't see is because the God of this age has blinded their minds, not able to see. You know that the God of this age is the devil. That's the reality of it all. His whole purpose is to stop you from believing, stop you from being saved, stop you from believing the message that Jesus Christ loves you and wants to save you. This gospel is the light. It's the light of God. Its message is about Jesus, the light of the world. You know, there's a verse there in Psalm 119, verse 105. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet, the light to my path. You're traveling. Every day of your life, you're traveling. You know that. When you get into bed tonight, you're going to be one day nearer the end of the journey you're on. You're going somewhere. We're all traveling into eternity, either to heaven or to hell. That's the reality. This is what the Bible is teaching. I tell you, in every walk of life, every day you go out, you know where you're going. I'm going to work. I'm going to the shop. I'm going to see my friends. I'm going to school. I'm going. You know where you're going. Every time you go out, you know you're on a journey. You're going. Here's the biggest journey of all. Look, this really moves me, by the way, this morning. That people don't know where they're going. Imagine that. You know, where do you want to go when you die? And everybody says, I want to go to heaven. Everybody says that. I never meet anybody who doesn't say that to me. If you want to go to heaven, you've got to go on the road. You've got to know where you're traveling to. You know, I live in the country, and a bit of a farm that carried off there, and we had a big lane up to our house. And in the wintertime, it was full of potholes. And you know, if you were walking up there in the dark, I tell you, that your feet soaked, you'd have been over the top of your shoes and everything. And it was good to have a torch, you know that? And be able to see where you're going, dance around the puddles. It was great to do that. You're walking in the darkness. You need to know where you're going. Friends, you need to know. You need to know where you're going. Most important thing in all the world. And if you don't know this morning, if you don't know, it's because the God of this age has blinded your mind. And he doesn't want you to see. In verse 6 there, if you look at it, just reminded again that God spoke light into the world. Genesis chapter 1 verse 3, God said, let there be light, and there was light. That's how it came in. You see, and God is able to speak light and salvation into your darkened soul by his word and by his spirit. The only thing that can hinder that is when you love your sin more than you love God. And you say, look, I don't want to change. I want to stay as I am. I want to stay in the darkness. I want to stay stumbling along. That's the only thing that can change all that. Let me finish by reading John chapter 3 and verse 19 to 21. This is Jesus speaking, and he says this. This is the verdict. Or this is the judgment. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light, will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. But don't lose heart. This is the big thing. Don't lose heart. Jesus reminds us of the real conditions that prevail in the world that we live in. But don't lose heart. Light has come into the world. And the darkness has not overcome it. It hasn't now. The darkness has not overcome it. It might not like it. See that. But it hasn't overcome it. Look, I tell you, I'm finished now. But I tell you what I've got with me. I've got a couple of wee booklets here. If I can find them here. I've got them somewhere. Either here. I only have a couple of them. It's called Two Ways to Live. If you want one of those off me, ask me for it. I'll give it to you. Take it home and have a read at it. It won't make you a Christian, but it'll explain to you, maybe better than I have this morning, what it means to be a real Christian. Just take it and have a look at it. You have to ask me for it. Let me pray with you. Father, we thank you again for your presence. Thank you again for your love and for your goodness and for your kindness to us. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the Apostle Paul, who was so wonderfully converted on the Damascus Road. The last person in the world you would ever have imagined would come to faith in Jesus. But Father, we thank you again for the work of the Holy Spirit, who reveals to us our lostness, who speaks into your hearts and speaks into your lives. Father, how we thank you and praise and bless you for that. So Father, we just pray, bless the folks that are gathered here today. May the hand of God be upon them all. And we ask it in Jesus' name now and for his sake. Amen.